Welcome to session two of The Performance Project. This is Jen Verheeren with jenverheeren.com and Cadence Coaching. And now we're going to talk about the sneaky companions that keep you in the fear cycle, your ants and your inner critic. I want to be really clear throughout this program that we're addressing a whole spectrum of fear. Fear can show up as a tiny bit of nerves before you go out into the show ring, feelings of dread as you prepare to participate in a clinic, heart palpitations or sweaty palms as you stand on the mounting block. It can be the spookiness that mimics your horses as you head out on the trail, procrastination as you write your thesis, reluctance to go for the new job or make a big change. It can even be the thing that stops you from being able to lose weight or get fit, write your novel, or find your life partner. Though I will most often make references to actual riding, please be broad in how you interpret and apply the principles that we're discussing in the performance project. We all have automatic negative thoughts, or ants. Ants are the thoughts that enter your mind even before you really have a chance to fully evaluate a situation. They tend to run rampant in our psyches and, if left unattended, can continually run you down the same old dead end, leaving you frustrated or demoralized. Ants tend to permeate many of our thoughts unless we make a conscious effort to override them. Ants are not real. Automatic negative thoughts are not real. They consist of stories that we make up about reality. We come to believe our ant-driven interpretations of reality are true, and then we act as if they are. So the first step toward changing this pattern is to identify what is the truth and what is the story that we tell ourselves about the truth that is actually not real. Our stories are usually so ingrained that this can be really challenging at first. So that fear to power practice that I'm going to encourage you to keep using throughout the performance project is designed to help you repattern your ants so you can ultimately change whatever of your habits and behaviors you want to. Ants originate from the fact that humans historically through the ages have had to be on the lookout for bad, dangerous things. Have you ever noticed that most people tend to focus on the negative rather than the positive? We actually have to make an effort to focus on good things, like I said in session one. This is because noticing threats and avoiding danger are what has kept us alive throughout history. The only thing is that we now, most often, don't need to be continuously vigilant about threats. Now, our tendency to focus on bad things gets in our way to the point where most of the things that our ants chatter on about are only loosely related to the reality that we're really experiencing. Automatic negative thoughts allow all of our past negative experiences or thoughts to creep into the present moment by reminding us of them constantly. It's natural for our thoughts to center around negative things that we've experienced in the past, so it takes some effort to get them to center positively around the present. So in the fear cycle, ants create tension in riders, and that creates tension in horses. Automatic negative thoughts can contribute to what people sometimes think of as a fear of success. A fear of success is actually simply the fear of change. Human beings in general are averse to change, and change represents the new and the unknown and can be quickly translated into danger deep down in our DNA. So this is not necessarily a conscious fear of change, but it helps explain the reason we often become more nervous or anxious or resistant as we get closer to achieving our dreams. It's so instinctive that it's hard to even identify at times. Think about how you treat your friends when they're under pressure or they need support. Do you tell them how much they suck compared to everyone else in the warm-up? Do you remind them of all the low dressage scores they've ever received in the past? Do you remind them of all the times they've failed? No, of course you don't. As you're preparing for your competition season this spring, get good at thinking of yourself as a dear friend. What would you say to yourself in order to help you succeed? As you're preparing for your riding season, ask yourself, Do you have the power to inspire rather than disempower yourself with your thoughts? This is where your fear to power practice comes in. Make a bunch of copies of it, of the PDF, and begin to fill it out whenever you think of a circumstance that you would like to be able to shift your experience. It can be a really powerful morning ritual to do. You might be surprised to find out how many of your bad habits are actually driven by your automatic negative thoughts. Okay, now meet your inner critic. If you've ever had something that you really, really want to do, but every time you get close to doing it, your mind starts to wonder why and what if, and maybe it's not meant to be, you have been visited by your inner critic. We all grapple with self-doubt in one form or another, like I said, all of us. And a while back, one of my clients was telling me excitedly about an opportunity that she was facing. She'd been invited to travel to Europe to train with a coach that she's long admired, and she received the invitation after riding in a local clinic, and she was so over the moon thrilled at the prospect of going on this adventure. She was super excited. It was something she'd been dreaming about for years. And once she told me all about it, we started to plan like the logistics of the trip and what she would need to do to prepare to go. And quite suddenly, her tone changed. She became hesitant and questioning. She started to talk about the ways in which she's not really prepared enough to go. And she listed all the things that she really should accomplish first and the reasons that she wasn't a high enough caliber rider to train with this coach. And it went on and on and on. So what had happened is her inner critic had taken over. The inner critic is that voice that chatters inside your head and tells you you're not ready, you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, or you're not worthy. It's actually a benevolent voice that took root in your childhood in order to protect you from being hurt. Your inner critic's job is to keep you out of situations where you might experience failure, criticism, or humiliation. There have likely been times in your life when your inner critic served you well. It kept you from touching a hot stove or crossing the street in traffic. Maybe at some point it helped keep you from making a big mistake. But the problem with your inner critic now is that as this voice persists into adulthood, it often keeps you from taking risks that you need to take in order to live a full life, be totally engaged, and make your dreams come true. If you never fail, if you never get criticized, you never experience taking a big risk, you're missing out on so many opportunities to grow and learn. In session 2 of your training notebook, write down some of your most common thoughts that you can attribute to your inner critic. Think about the kind of things that come up in your mind when you're in the warm-up arena, when you're contemplating taking on a new experience or setting a big goal. I'm not ready, or I don't deserve that, or people might think. I might be wrong. I might fail. I might not be talented enough, skinny enough, wealthy enough, or popular enough. These are all examples of inner critic talk. Even I can't do that because it's raining, or I don't have time, or I can't afford it, can be driven by your inner critic to help you get out of challenging stuff and avoid positive change, sometimes otherwise known as success. Your inner critic will never leave you. I promise she or he will hunker down and continue to show up anytime you're faced with taking some kind of risk, doing something new, or taking a stand for something important to you. The key is to identify her as not you. Most of the time when someone comes to me for coaching, we spend a little time identifying this inner critic voice. It is incredibly liberating to realize that the voice that tries to convince you that you are not good enough, not ready, or not as awesome as that other person over there, that voice is not you. That voice that tries to convince you that you are not good enough, not ready, or not awesome is not you. The inner critic is a mechanism of self-preservation that we all have, and we all have the ability to negotiate with it and relate to it in a productive way. So the key to getting past your inner critic, to all the juicy experiences that life has to offer, is to access what I call your inner coach's voice. The inner coach is the voice that speaks up for your true wisdom, your dreams, and your self-trust. It helps you stay internally directed. Your inner coach knows what you are capable of and inspires you to go for it. When you're setting goals, you're strengthening your inner coach's voice and getting closer to being able to quiet your inner critic. In session 3, we're going to take a deep dive into what your goal is, what you truly desire, and why it's important to you. It's necessary to lay out clearly what you want and how you want to feel in order to get ahead of whatever fears have held you back in the past. Your inner coach believes in your strengths, your courage, your abilities, and most importantly, your ability to learn and grow from adversity rather than wither. As I'm talking about this, I keep thinking about one of my clients whose mantra is, "I am the storm." This mantra took her from being a jumble of self-doubt to qualifying for and riding in the National Dressage Championships in Kentucky and conquering a cancer diagnosis at the same time. Her inner coach voice reminds her again and again that she cannot be taken out by the storm when she is the storm. The internal chatter of her inner coach was all about, of her inner critic was all about not being good enough, not having the right horse, wondering if she could afford it, and ultimately wondering if she should give up in the face of breast cancer. Her inner critic was often colluded with by other people in her life. But her inner coach voice kicked in and took a stand for her dream and who she needed to be. "I am the storm." She now has that tattooed on her arm. So your inner coach is all about your aspirations. And in the case of my client I just was talking about earlier, who is headed to Europe, once her inner critic got it all out, I had her talk about her vision, her goals, and what this experience of going to Europe would mean to her in her life. We talked about how it's aligned with her dreams and what the payoff would be for her if she went on this journey. We talked about what the cost would be if she decided not to. And in this way, she was able to access her inner coach's voice and make some really powerful decisions that were connected to her goals and her vision, rather than making a decision based on fear and on the insecurities of her inner critic. It is your inner coach's voice that will show up as you're doing your fear to power practice and deciding on the intentional positive thoughts that will replace your automatic negative ones. The fear to power practice PDF is in the resource room in your account portal, and it's also included in your training notebook. So one of the questions I get asked a lot is, how do you tell if your inner critic is getting in your way or if you are just being practical and realistic? And this is such a great question. Here's the thing. Your inner critic voice will tend to be opinionated and not interested in facts. It will be repetitive and prone to sweeping generalizations and judgments. Your inner critic voice will likely not be interested in compromise or finding solutions, but rather will be into complaining and making more judgments. Your inner critic voice will be all about black and white thinking. Okay? Your inner coach voice, on the other hand, tends to be calm and interested in facts and problem solving. Your inner coach is cool with figuring out ways to overcome adversity and trusts that you will find a way. Your inner coach voice will be okay with ambiguity and uncertainty, where your inner coach or your inner critic voice will tend to use uncertainty as an excuse to bail on things. So these are some ways that you can tell the difference. Take a few minutes to answer the questions in your training notebook. Here they are. What are the specific thoughts, automatic negative thoughts, that go through your mind when you're in the fear cycle? How would you characterize your inner critic voice? What kinds of things does he or she say? How would you characterize your inner coach voice? What kinds of things does he or she say? If these are new concepts for you, please bear with me and start to listen for these two distinct voices in your head. Which one is louder? Which one treats you like a true friend? Which one gets in your way and which one moves you forward? We'll be referring to these two voices throughout the performance project. I love this quote from Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. He writes, "There is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it." There is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it. Thank you for being here with me for session two. You are not your thoughts. Don't be afraid to get down and dirty with your aunts and your inner critic starting today. Now's the time. I'll see you in session three.